Hi, it's Diane, and it is Tuesday, October 11th. I don't know if some of you are coming up a long weekend. I certainly am, so I'm not sure what my name is, but this is Diane. And we're going to get started. We've got still a few folks that are new, so we're going to just do a little bit, again, an overview, a reminder of what the format of the call is, maybe do a little bit more administrative-y kinds of teaching stuff than we maybe normally will, because I know a few folks. Is there anybody that this is your first call? I see Laura, you just joined us.
Hello.
Okay, so you've all been on a PSS call. That's good. But so just a reminder from a format perspective, we start with check-ins. I always try to encourage everybody to, if you can, come up with a celebration as part of your check-in. That would be awesome. And then we'll take aim, and I'm going to ask everyone to go around, and we did take aim on the last call 2 weeks ago, but we're going to ask everybody specifically to take aim, and I'll help folks if they're stuck and they aren't sure where to take aim. I'll help folks you through that, help you to take aim specifically. Those are the things we talked about last time. And then we'll do our training. And this week our training is on executive function. And we are, does anybody know what page we are on in the workbook? There it is. We are on page
20.
Thank you. 20 through 23 in the workbook this week. And so we're going to talk about executive function. And I'll do a little training on that. There's a cool exercise we'll give you as homework. And then we'll have a conversation specifically around executive function and this idea of executive function. And then as we have time, we'll do some laser coaching and some follow-up. And then at the end, I'll do our checkout and make our commitment for what we're going to do for the next couple weeks until we get back together. So let's just go ahead and do our check-in. And just a reminder, because we're new, quickly, hey, I'm Diane. I've got two teenagers. I live in Atlanta. That's kind of just, and then do your check-in with a celebration if you want to. Okay, who wants to start?
I'll start. This is Troy. I live in California in Silicon Valley. My wife is also working with this, but she has a class this morning, so she'll be calling in later this week. We have two teenagers, 16 and 19. The 19-year-old, after a bumpy first year in college, is doing a gap year program. And right now I'm interested, my 16-year-old's a junior, and figuring out how much to watch what goes on and remind him of things versus letting him figure out that, how much to provide the scaffolding versus how much to let him experience when things don't work is what I'm sort of wrestling with this week, as many weeks, but it's certainly in the front of my mind right now.
Awesome. Thanks, Troy. Laura, you want to check in, please? Oh, who's this?
Vilma.
Vilma, go for it.
Vilma, yeah. Okay, hi. I'm Vilma. I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, with a 19-year-old daughter who's in her second year college, doing first year pretty much over again. And I want to check in. I want to congratulate myself, I guess. I can take some credit, I guess, that I have managed to let go of I had set myself a task last time that to support her buy-in that she wants to do well in school, and I figured out somewhere in the midst of an extreme frustration that I'm just going to have to let go. And I let go. And she came through this morning as an example. She was going to not get up and not drive to school, which is admittedly a long drive, and not go to her one-hour lecture because it was just too much. And I just said, okay. Let me know how it goes. And then she got up and said, I decided to go. I said, fabulous, see you later. When are you leaving? And she said, I'm on. And then she came back and said, I'm going to leave at 10:15. So there were right there two things that I would have said and gotten yelled at for saying that she said on her own. Yay! And she did.
Awesome. I know that's really hard for you, Vilma, because you've been trying really hard to kind of step back a little bit and see what she can and can't do on her own. I think that's kind of sounds a lot like what Troy was talking about, just kind of that,
yeah,
how do you figure,
yeah,
out where the scaffolding is. So good for you. Awesome. Okay. Margo, how about you?
excuse me. Outside of Atlanta, 16-year-old. And I guess just the letting go, like the others have already said, and let things happen as they happen.
Do you have a celebration for us, Margo?
That's it.
Oh, you've been doing that. You've been successfully,
yeah,
letting go. Good. And how's it? And how's he doing?
About the same. We are on the way to find out results of the blood work from last week.
Okay.
Cool.
Karen, what about you?
Hi. So I have two boys. One is 15, and he was diagnosed with ADHD about 2 years ago. And then my other son is 14 today. And he doesn't have any sort of diagnosis at this point, although I am starting to question if he does have some executive functioning issues. So I'm just sort of keeping an eye out on him. In terms of a celebration, I guess what I would have to say is, because I didn't really prepare what my celebration is that I actually did my homework for last week, and I took aim. I looked at what I was supposed to look at in terms of having healthy disagreements in our family. I listened to your webinar about yelling, spoke with my son about what he thought about the topic, and I just feel good that I'm at least making some progress in that direction. Nothing's perfect yet, but I feel like I'm going in the right direction.
Well, and it's going to take some time here. You may have a home run the first week, and you may, you know, just kind of tag along until you get some traction. But congratulations doing your homework. For a lot of us,
yeah,
just even finding the time to do that, it's a big deal, Karen. So good for you. Good. Awesome. Okay, Laura.
Hi, this is Lori.
Lori, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Still new to this. Yeah, I have a 13-year-old. I live outside of Chicago, and my celebration ties in with what everyone else does. And my daughter just got a 85 on her math test, which is not is great. It's a celebration. But the big thing is that the night before the math test, which I normally sit with her and go over the unit review, we had a blow up because it was just like I was being a pain to her, I guess. And so I walked away, and she studied a bit or something and was able to do that on her own. So it kind of goes to the theme of I stepped back. I said, okay, I have to, you know, especially middle school, the grades don't matter. And it's like, let her fail. And I just let her do it, and she got an 85. We've had some issues over the week of forgetting things, and not having homework things prepared to do homework. So I'm thrilled that this session is on executive functioning, because there's a lot of key issues with that. Because when you struggle with letting go and letting them do it, gosh, you really hope they have the tools in place, because then it's just, you know, you want to set them up for success. So.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And so that's part of what this is figuring out we're in this step where we're getting curious. And so this is exactly what you want to do, is to understand what their key challenges are so that you can scaffold or not scaffold. So that's great. Awesome. Congratulations, Lori. Lisa.
Hi, this is Lisa in Colorado, and my daughter is 12 and in middle school. And I'm celebrating that she's having some increased guidance in school with a counselor and with the teachers, like, signing off on her planner. And she was at first resistant to that. She doesn't want to be different. She doesn't want to, you know, stand out, that she needs extra help. But in the end, she's really handling it really well, and she's going along with it, and she needs the help. And so she's, you know, she didn't give me the resistance I thought she would, and it's working out really well. So I'm celebrating that.
Awesome. All right. And Michelle, last but not least.
Yes, I'm in Bowie, Maryland, outside of D.C. area, and I have a 17-year-old senior daughter that is has ADD, OCD, and mild autism, and I have a almost 14-year-old daughter who has oppositional defiant disorder, and I have a 7-year-old son that hasn't, you know, that we don't believe has any diagnosis or anything. So I'm celebrating that my 17-year-old in therapy, her goal, the therapist's goal is for her to be more mature. So I'm taking aim at her being more independent. So I guess I'm celebrating that she's willing to be more independent. She's trying. She's signing up for things at school that she needs to because it's senior year. So they have to sign up to see colleges as they come in and various things. So she's trying. We have a long way to go, but I'm just glad that at least she wants to be independent and that she's making an effort. But so that would be my celebration.
Awesome. Okay. So, and what do you, so this is what, her independence is what you took aim on last time. So,
yes.
Is there anything in particular that you notice is different, Michelle, since last time?
Not just that she's trying, but it's, you know, it's a lot to do senior year, and the pace is, so I don't know if I've noticed much of a difference yet. You know, the pace is extremely fast, so she's, you know, not quite, you know, not where she needs to be in the pace, but she's at least trying. So I don't know if I've noticed any too much difference so far.
Okay. And so then as you move, because I think I got everybody, so if we move into taking aim, is this the area you want to continue to take aim? How would you share what you want to take aim on this week?
Yes, I absolutely would like to continue with her becoming more independent because she definitely needs it. She wants it. She pretty much told the therapist that her parents were annoying. I definitely want to continue. And then she'll need it soon because she just turned 17 and she'll be graduating next year. So, yeah. That's what I'm going to continue to take aim as her independent.
So let's get specific. So last time I think you specifically were talking about independence with homework. Is that still the area where you want to be specific with, or is there another area you mentioned signing up for things at school? What specifically do you want to focus on?
I would say with homework and her work, definitely.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. She definitely we had a big issue last week. She's taking her first AP class. It's AP biology, and they have a notebook they have to turn in, and she had all zeros and I couldn't figure out why, and pretty much the teacher said she didn't turn in a notebook. And when I was asking my daughter, she said she turned in a notebook. So every time I asked her to see it, she was at school. So Friday, I pretty much, when I got to the school, I said, where's the notebook? All of a sudden, the notebook was at home. So all the other times, she said it was at school.
That's a great example, Michelle, because we're going to talk about executive function this morning. And a lot of times, I've written a couple articles, and Elaine has as well, about when our kids have a hard time being honest about what's going on.
Right.
A lot of times, it's because they don't understand why they're having a hard time, or they're really having a hard time, and so it kind of ends up being one of those avoiding getting in trouble things. I've got one of those that I suspect is going on right now with an AP statistics class that I've got to email the teacher, and I'm just hoping, you know, the fingers crossed that the answer will be, no, he really doesn't have any homework, and not that he's got months of homework that he's behind on. So you're in good company, Michelle.
Yeah,
all right. So let's go back around, and we're going to have everybody else take aim as well. And, again, we want to, as we learned last time, we want to make sure we're taking aim not on a solution, but on a challenge. And we want to be as specific as possible. So, Troy, you were talking about scaffolding in particular earlier. I think that's where you said you wanted to take aim. Is there a particular area, like I just went over with Michelle, that you want to really focus in on independence for Alex?
I would say what just happened, which is what's in the front of my mind, is, you know, Alex got a cold and was out of school for 2 days, and there was a mix-up on when some of the work that needed to be done was due. Fortunately for him, you know, what happened is the teacher had extended the deadline by a week, but he stayed up super late Sunday night finishing something he didn't need to and was pretty much a wreck yesterday. So what I'd like to focus on is working with Alex, you know, in hearing, really trying to hear what he thinks would be a way for him to get the information he needs or ways to check on what the work is, because the teachers aren't perfect about posting it online, particularly if there are changes. And for me, what's difficult is just not providing a solution. Well, you can do this. So working with Alex on finding solutions or ideas for what might work in this kind of situation.
So you're talking about keeping up with work, particularly when he misses assignments. And I think this is that right, Troy?
Yes, although it's more generally applicable if he's not sure what's due tomorrow, or, you know, having the idea I have in my head is have a list of friends you can call, or Facebook, or whatever you do to communicate with them.
But
particularly when he's out for some reason, yes.
Right. Okay, great. So this will be a really great example to use with the executive function piece, because part of it is helping him figure out what really is going on that's making it hard. And it may be that it may be different in certain classes, and so that's the only thing I would plant a seed about, Troy, is that when you do have that conversation with him, you might want to have, and I remember very distinctly doing this with Jacob, is kind of sitting down and saying, okay, class by class, what's hard? And in one class, it might be something like the teacher yells the assignments as we're walking out the door, and so I'm already thinking about my next class and I don't ever remember. Or another one might be the teacher doesn't keep the website up, or whatever it is. So it's just you might even need to drill down and focus in on one or two classes as a way to set them up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Thanks.
Okay, great. Vilma, where do you want to take aim today?
Hi. So I'm thinking on that task management activation piece. Like, I want to figure out how I can scaffold her or stay off her, or how I can help her in some way get over the...
So, Vilma, can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah.
So you jumped to the chart, which I love. Challenge do you see the task activation? Is it getting up in the morning? Is it getting started on homework? Pick one particular area where you see that she's got that activation thing going on.
Getting started on her homework.
Okay, great. Let's take it. How does it feel to take aim on getting started?
Getting started, right.
Okay, perfect. Margo.
PSAT prep.
Okay. Something specifically?
The exam is next Wednesday, and so I guess I can't hear myself. I guess you know, getting started.
Okay. Karen, what about you?
So I think I'm going to continue on with my focusing on healthy disagreements. And I just actually yesterday or this morning finally got to listen to that yelling webinar that you had. So coming out of that, what I want to do is work with my 15-year-old from what I learned and talk to him about, like, I know what my triggers are. I want to help him to identify his triggers and figure out how he can handle those triggers better. So I think, you know, I also took a look at what we were going to talk about today in terms of executive functioning, and he's got definitely frustration tolerance. I want to try to figure out how to help him identify that he has an issue with frustration tolerance and sort of work with him on identifying when he's upset and not going from 0 to 10 in a second, you know, because 1 minute the conversation is going fine and next thing you know, he's, you know, really yelling or screaming or, you know, name calling, that kind of thing. So I want to try to work with him to help him see that that's a pattern and try to figure out how that can change, I guess.
So Karen, can I pop you up a level of specificity? Because you're very specific, which I love, but I'm going to encourage you to step up a level, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Because I think that there's this fine line between the solution and the challenge, right? So if you stay this side of the solution, which I think is helping your son with trigger management, self-awareness, some of that other stuff, you may find that 0 to 10 is the way his brain works. And you may find that, you know, so it's really about helping him find ways to manage his triggers and understand his triggers, rather than doing a particular thing to attack, you know, to address those triggers right now. Does that make sense? As opposed to where you take aim?
Yeah. Okay.
Perfect.
So right now I'm really just focused on helping him bring awareness to that's an issue, and help him figure out what his triggers are, help him manage and understand those.
Right. And I think that, you know, technically you're partnering with him to look at trigger management. You know that one of the first steps is awareness. And so it's hard to know what shape that'll take, whether it's just a conversation and you'll get it, whether there's other ways that other tools that you might need to do to try to help him to become aware. But you're aware that the first step in trigger management is awareness. And so that's where you're taking aim on, is trigger management, specifically the first step.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Awesome. Lori.
Well, I mean, a little bit of help to figure out which ones to actually take aim on. I wanted to doing homework. Now, I've in the last week's call, we've kind of gotten away from her filling out the activity planner, which is what school wants her to do and whatnot. But she has her own system, and it usually works. I said that we're going to give her a try. If she buys into that, that's fine. I just want to, the whole purpose is to get her to be complete in doing her homework. So I have some issues with both getting started but also time management, and we've tried to have her, when she comes home, she tells me kind of what homework she has, and sometimes she scribbles down what she's going to do, but it's really kind of getting homework finished. And I've gotten to the point just this past week of saying, okay, this is your homework, you know, because I was so tired of saying, sit up and get your homework going, or get your home, you know, 10 more minutes and 15 minutes goes by. And so I got to the point where, okay, you don't get your iPod, you know, you have homework, you're responsible for doing it. You know, it's kind of like, if you do it, you do it. And so I don't know.
Can I interrupt you for a second, Lori?
Yeah.
Okay, so it sounds like you want to take aim on completing homework. And I think it'll be great because you can do this exercise kind of looking at what some of the executive function challenges are, you know, and figure out what is it that's getting in the way and what might be breaking down in her system and where it's, you know, where it's not, you know, and figuring out whether it's a scaffold, whether it's an adjustment to her system or whatever it is. But you're going to, how does it feel to kind of stay in that completing homework as a place to take aim?
Okay, it's just the physical act of doing the homework.
Yep, that's where you shine your light, is completing homework, and then the tool will help you to the tip and the lesson today will help you to kind of narrow in a little bit.
Okay,
Lisa.
Oh my goodness, it's a good thing I was almost last because I don't know what to take aim on. Well, I kind of think I should take aim on at what everybody said, because I can relate to everybody's. but I think I'll take aim on maintaining appreciation and working with my daughter by celebrating her and staying positive and complimenting her as much as I can. And that seems to really work, and I feel like we just make more strides when I'm focusing on what she's doing right and working with her from there. She's way more motivated to change when we talk about what she's doing right.
So I'm gonna back you up a level, like I did with someone earlier, Lisa, if I can. So focusing on what's working and the positive and the cheerleading is a great skill and a great tool to use. Let's back it up a level and figure out what challenge specifically you want to apply that to. So is that about getting up out in the morning? Is it about finishing your homework?
Right.
Is it, you know, you want to apply to a particular challenge, make it easier for you, because it's going to be hard to be positive all day long, I can tell you.
Right.
If you're like,
I would, yeah. I would say then, thank you for helping me clarify that it would be to stay positive around the challenges we have if I have to help her with her homework. That's when she might flare up and get really emotional and frustrated and then take that out on me. So if I could just be positive and, you know, during those times and encouraging, and, you know, that would be helpful.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. Okay. All right. I got everybody. I believe I got all seven of you. Okay. So we are on page 20 through 23 of the workbook. And so there's a lot of great details here on executive function. And so I guess I'm curious, you know, are any of you, is executive function a term that you haven't heard before or feel like you don't know very much about? Can you just kind of tell me? Right now, if it's like, hey, Diane, this is new to me.
Not new.
Not new. Okay. All right. So we got some novices. We don't have any real novices, so you have at least heard this term. So Elaine and I have kind of taken, and if you guys have, there's somebody that's got some background noise, maybe in the, driving in the car, if you can put yourself in mute, that would be great. But most of the stuff that we've taken from on executive function comes from two resources. One is from Dr. Thomas Brown, who is actually the first one who really identified the executive functions of the brain. And when I say executive function, it's that part of the brain that tells us what to do and not what not to do. I think of it as being the conductor of the orchestra. It's like, okay, now this is supposed to happen, and then this is supposed to happen. And for our kids who have ADHD or anxiety, who have kind of a disconnect in their executive function, the part of their brain that tells them what to do and what not to do is not efficiently connected to the part of their brain that actually takes action. And so there's a lot of different places where this could show up. But this is really the reason we're talking about it at this stage in the calendar is that we're going back through the parenting action model, and this is step two. So after we've taken aim, we want to collect information. We want to get curious. And one of the really powerful places to get curious is looking at your child's brain and what's really going on for them. We use that acronym WEGO, what is going on. And we want to really look at what's going on from a lot of different perspectives, but one of them is clearly from an executive function perspective. So what are their challenges and their brain challenges that they have? So there are six areas of executive function that we talk about. We've got a paragraph form on page 21, and we've got chart form on page 22. And I'm going to educate you guys to kind of go visually, if you've got your workbook in front of you, to this chart on page 22. And this would be a great exercise for you to do a bunch of times at home. You can do it with each kid. You can do it for yourself if you think you've got executive function challenges or if you're just a stressed out menopausal single mom like me. I have executive function challenges too, but it's like important to kind of see that there are six categories of executive function challenges, and then there's more than just this, but this is kind of a list of the most common challenges as well. So I'm not going to go through every single one of these, but it may be that you know that your child has an issue with memory, and the places that it may show up are, you know, forgetfulness. They might also have issues with math, which might be a difficulty with memory, or writing an essay. That my daughter's been trying to write an essay for one of her classes, and she has a really difficult time because the idea gets stuck in her head and she all of a sudden she can't remember what she was thinking about. Learning from mistakes is a memory issue. Organizing ideas is a memory issue. So that for any one of these big categories, activation, action, memory, focus, emotion, and energy, there are several ways that it might, quote unquote, show up in your child. So you might know that my child has a difficulty with emotional intensity. I know that. So you know that that purple box is where you're at. And so what you would do is you could kind of circle with, you know, you might circle the big emotion box, or you might circle some of the individual ones that you know. Somebody was just mentioning frustration tolerance being an issue for her son. But what you want to do is you want to pick a child or a situation and then do this exercise to say, what are the executive functions that might be getting in the way of this challenge? So I was talking to a mom about mornings the other day, and she wanted to take aim on mornings, and we remember that that's more of a macro area. And so we narrowed it in and said that it was helping her son to remember all the steps that need to be taken, or get through all the steps that need to be taken from the pillow to the bus stop. And so then we could have the question, the conversation about the executive functions and say, is it more about memory? Is it more about getting started? Is it more about sustaining effort, which is energy, you know, and keeping things moving forward? Is it more about focus? And so if you have a child who's really distracted, they may know all the steps of the things they need to do in the morning, but they're constantly getting distracted by games or something in their room. They may have a hard time kind of getting started, but once they get going, they have no problem getting through all this stuff to get out the door. They may have a hard time kind of keeping it up, or they might have a hard time remembering all the things they need to do. So even that situation of figuring out what's breaking down in the morning and where to take aim in the morning, this idea of kind of looking at executive function and the different ways it shows up can be very helpful in narrowing down in a particular challenge area. So I don't necessarily want to take the time, because we've got a bigger group today, to do this exercise, but I'm kind of curious, you know, just take a minute and look at the chart and maybe circle some things that stand out for you around a particular situation, or make some notes, and I would love to kind of hear how this framework of executive function helps you when you're thinking about your child's challenges. I would love to hear from, like, three of you.
Well, this is Laura. I have a question. I mean, I look at these, and my daughter is in, there's something in every single one of them. There's clearly, I don't know if it's, you know, like activation, I think she has every single one of these bullets, versus other boxes, she doesn't have every single one. So I don't know if they're weighted, or, you know, is it more, like, where do you start?
Well, that's a really good question. So you know that, I think that it's, when you're dealing with homework, right? So this is what you were going to take aim on. Is that right? And so if you
yes.
see that she's having a hard time with planning, so which of the ones in the activation box are the ones that she has a hard time with?
Well, I all of them. So I don't know then if the next step is actually kind of to prioritize these things to
yes.
figure
no,
out.
No, I think it is. Right, exactly. And so you may say that, you know, if she's got, so you could take aim if you know she's got a big project coming up. You could take aim on helping her to plan that big project because you know she has a hard time with planning. So that might be a place where you know you need scaffolding. If you know that she's having a hard time getting started, and you know that okay, you know, you could absolutely take aim more specifically on homework, getting started on homework, as opposed to organizing her homework or, you know, prioritizing her homework. So if you know that she's having a hard time with activation, I think it's absolutely valuable to kind of split them up. So if you had to split those up, which one do you think is either the most important to tackle first or the hardest for her, or something that you think that she might be interested in jumping in on?
I think actually the time management. That's how I weighed it, because she doesn't recognize how long it takes her to do certain things. And so she gets frustrated.
She gets frustrated. So what's her interest in getting things done? Is it that she's having a hard time? She doesn't have a realistic estimation of how long things will take. Is that what you're saying?
Probably, or that, and then she just also, when she's starting to work on something, she loses interest or she gets distracted. Working on the computer is great, but then she can make one little click and then she's on some game, if I'm not sitting there. So.
Yeah. Well, so I guess for me, if she's got an area of frustration, I mean, we're talking about teenagers, right? So we want to be engaging them in the decision of what where we're taking aim as much as we can. If you can find a place where she's already got some motivation, so you know that she would rather get her homework done quicker because she's having a hard time that it's taking her so long, you might take aim there and look and say, what is it that's making it difficult for her to get her homework done in a timely manner? And so it might be that she spends an hour organizing herself before she actually gets started on her homework, and that might be getting in the way of doing it in a timely way. It may be that she, really doesn't know how long things will take, and so she's not estimating appropriately. So doing some organizing on the front end, I know that a tool that Elaine uses is to kind of say, sits down with her child every day and says, what do you have to do and how long do you think it will take? Because he has a hard time kind of really conceptualizing that time period. So that's a different way to do it. So what comes up for you, Lori?
Yeah, I think that the time management, I mean, she doesn't, she takes a little break before she even starts, and that it gets longer. But if you do a time management, I think if you get her at a good day, she'll sit down with me and go over all these different points, and we can talk about it. Because I think she's 13, but I think for all teenagers, if they don't buy into it, it's just an exercise that's not going to work.
Yeah, and a lot of times these kids don't really see time pass. And I don't know if you guys have digital clocks in your house, but I did this exercise with my daughter where we actually looked at how long it takes to do all the things in the morning. And so we wrote down what are the 10 things you have to do in the morning and how long does it take each one of those, and then actually took a two-handed clock and started at the time we need to leave the door and then walked backwards and said, okay, you need 5 minutes to pack your lunch, you need 5 minutes to eat your breakfast, and you need 10 minutes to put on your makeup, and you need, it's like we really kind of walked backwards so that she could see, oh my gosh, I'm getting up 45 minutes before I have to leave, but I've got an hour and a half worth of stuff that I have to do. That's why I'm feeling rushed every day to get out the door. So there's lots of ways to approach it, but I love the fact that you would be focused in on something that's of importance and of value to her. So what else is coming up for anybody else?
Can you be more specific with that question?
So when you look at this chart, what ahas do you have either about your child or about this whole concept of executive function?
Can I say something? It's Vilma.
Yeah.
So I'm real focused on getting started as activation. and having gotten curious, as you say, and talked with her about it at a time when she wasn't about to have to do anything, but at a leisure time, she said that she knows she should, but she just can't get motivated. And that gets me down into effort management and energy. So I'm kind of, what do you do first?
Right. Well, and so that's the piece of it, is that if they know that motivation is what helps them to get started, then helping them to create a motivation for themselves can be a great tool to insert. So if she knows, so you can say, okay, so you're having a hard time getting started because there's no motivation here. How could you create a motivation for yourself? So could you put your phone, and she may know, she's old enough to kind of come up with some ideas, but you could brainstorm with her, you could ask her to come up with three things that might motivate her. It could be she puts her phone in the other room, and once she's finished the first 15 problems, then she can go check her phone. It may be that my son always likes to get his ice cream after his homework because that's his motivation to get his homework done. You know, so it's kind of like the motivation is what helps. If you know that motivation is what's going to help her to get started, you use that to, you help her to come up with an external motivator. Does that make sense, Vilma?
Yeah, makes sense. But it to her, she reads that as, oh no, now I have to make a decision. I can't make a decision. I don't know how to answer this. This is pressure.
Right. So which might mean, so again, it's that's another executive function, you know, which is, yeah, I have a hard time getting started. And so that's that, if she's having a hard time making a decision, that might be the place to put in some scaffolding. So what might some scaffolding look like for her on decision making?
Well, I gave her a choice. I asked her I tried bribing this morning.
Force a decision that you want, right? You could brainstorm with her. You could say, do you want some ideas? And do you want, you know, or you could just say, how do you want to decide? Do you want to flip a coin? You know, so it's kind of like you're really kind of helping her to make the decision. And yes, making the decision for her is certainly an option. I think we all get to figure out, depending on how old our kid is and how willing they are to have us decide for them, where we want to go with that, right?
No. No, right.
Okay. Okay, cool. Other thoughts?
I have a question about this. Now that I'm looking at these definitions, how do I use this to, I mean, I can, I guess my, let me get more specific. I can relate to all of these and I can see a little of all of these in different areas of my daughter's life. How do I now use this in any beneficial way?
Okay, so I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time with the voice. Is this Lisa?
I'm sorry, yes, it's Lisa.
Okay, that's all right. So Lisa, if you're focusing on homework, right? And
yeah,
you look at these, so which of these buckets feels like the biggest kind of challenge for her around homework? Just pick one to start. Emotion. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and when you look at emotion, give me a couple specifics of what's really difficult for her.
Well, I think it feels overwhelming to her what she's supposed to do, and so she just has, her frustration tolerance is low, and then she just has intense emotions, and it's hard for her to focus and then get things done because of the intense emotions.
Great. So we've got frustration tolerance, there's two different ways you could approach it. Number one is to try to eliminate the frustration. Number two is to try to help her to learn how to manage her frustration, which feels more like the place to start for you.
Managing the frustration.
Okay, so when you're managing, so then you know, okay, I'm going to take aim on teaching her, you know, trigger management or, you know, calming techniques or whatever it is. So you're focusing then on helping her to learn, no matter what the situation is, you know, to how to handle those. And so that, does that help?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay,
that's
great.
Being proactive, thinking about your child, what they're struggling with, and taking aim on that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right,
cool. And it may be that she's frustrated because she's having a hard time managing her time, which might take you to, okay, let's deal with the challenge and lessen the frustration, as well as teaching her how to take a few deep breaths or whatever it is that, you know, she finds is powerful tools for her in managing frustration.
Okay.
Other questions or thoughts that come up around this? Okay. So I'm hopeful that everybody can kind of find a way to use this tool to kind of narrow, maybe either clarify the area you're taking aim on, because this would really be the next step, right? So I'm, my challenge to all you guys for homework is to take that area you identified as taking aim on and really kind of look at this chart and start with kind of what are all the areas that might be getting in the way, and then narrow in and make a decision, like, do I want to focus on the activation part, or do I want to focus on the energy part? Do I want to focus on the memory part or the focus part? And because we've got, again, I'm going to say this because we've got teenagers, part of what you want to make sure you're doing is that you're choosing things as much in the context of what they want as possible. And so if you can tell that they're having a hard time, that might be a great place to start because their motivation is already there. And so then you're not having to drum up motivation to try to get them to activate or drum up, you know, support to get them to tackle an issue, that sort of thing. Okay. So we've got about just a few minutes here. Is there any kind of just general questions about any of your areas where you were taking aim? I can do some quick laser coaching with one or two of you.
Well, I have a question. So this is Lisa in Colorado, and we've been talking about emotion management and helping my daughter identify her triggers. But, you know, I notice, of course, in the moment, it's like if she is already upset, that's almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you have any comments on that?
No, I think I do, because I think that trigger management is mostly what happens when we're not triggered, right? So somebody was saying that they listened to the trigger recording. Was that you that said that you had already listened to the trigger recording?
No,
that was me,
Karen.
One on thing.
Okay, Karen. So it was back in May, but in the webinar section of the website, I can help you find it if you can't find it. There's a webinar we did about yelling and triggers and that sort of thing. But I think that there's conversations that happen outside of the heat of the moment that really will set you up for success in the heat of the moment. And then there's what you do in the heat of the moment. So, for example, kind of having a general conversation as a family, I learned about this thing called trigger management, and I've been thinking about how I manage my own triggers and what do I do when I get upset, and I just would love to have a conversation as a family about, you know, what does everybody do when they get upset, and how can you, you know, how can you manage those triggers? And so that can be one thing you can do, is just kind of have a conversation with your kid or your family about trigger management and how you're going to handle it. Part of it is also kind of being their mirror and without judgment, letting them know what you see. And so this could be a great tool, Karen, for you with your son who goes from 0 to 10. Wow, I can tell that I thought you were fine, and all of a sudden you were just over the deep end. What happened? That was wild. You know, just kind of non-judgmental, just sort of, this is what I saw. Did you notice it too? You know, so kind of raising awareness to it. And then I think that the other thing that I would say just generally about triggers is that when somebody's triggered, everything has to stop other than calming down, right? And so if it's about the homework or about the chores or about the whatever else, you know, your logic about, well, you have to do this because needs to stop, because they're not hearing it, right? So the part of our brain that can process logic or can take any kind of reasonable action is disconnected when we're triggered. And so that's the other important piece of it, Lisa, I would say, is that, you know, helping her figure out how to just kind of stop everything and calm down. Code words is something you can use. And my daughter has a code word. It's burrito. And when her anxiety gets, like, she and I are having a conversation about something, her anxiety gets really high and she knows that she's about to go over the deep end, she'll say, "Mom, burrito," and I need to know to just shut my mouth and to stop talking, because she needs a few minutes to just calm back down. And if I come back too soon, she'll be like, "Mom, that is not fast enough burrito. You know, you didn't give me time to eat my burrito," or whatever she says. But, you know, it's this, that sort of helping her learn how to calm herself. So what stands out for you in that, Lisa?
Well, all of it. It all sounds like excellent stuff to prevent. It's all about prevention. And I think, you know, when we're having good moments in our families, we need to capitalize on them by talking about this stuff, and we're not doing that enough.
Yeah, because I think that in the prevention part of it is where you learn the management part of it. You know, if you had an 8-year-old, I would say, you know, you create a comm box and you encourage your child to go to a comm box. And the same thing with your 15-year-old, and you say, I can tell you're really upset. You use the ACE process we've talked about a lot. So you acknowledge, you validate. I can tell you're really upset about this. It makes perfect sense that you're really upset, and you just kind of let them be upset and let them calm down and clear. Or if they know that they take a few deep breaths or some water or whatever it is, and you just stand there with them or walk away from them, depending on kind of what they need, to help them to calm down and then reengage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. Other thoughts, questions? I'm going to move to our closing. There's a lot of conversation. So the section on executive function is a little bit more training than we normally do, but I appreciate you guys being patient because I think it's a really powerful tool that can really help you when you're looking at what's going on with your kids. So turning your workbook to page 23, there are four questions we ask at the end of each call. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? Maybe what's an aha would be another way to say that one. What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? So take a few minutes, jot down some notes, and I'd love to hear, we've got limited time, but I want to hear from everybody. I want to hear out loud an aha you had, and I want to hear what your commitment is in terms of what you want to do moving forward. So take some notes, and then when you're ready, just let me know, and whoever is ready can just jump in. And a few of you, we were pretty quiet during the conversation, so I'm going to ask you guys to step up too. Troy, can I ask you to go first? I know you've been processing this whole time.
I'm not on mute, am I? Good.
Nope, you're not. I can hear you.
Okay. What's my aha? I'd say just how many people are struggling with the same things that we are with getting our teenagers to plan ahead or figure out what needs to happen. You know, they want to get their homework done. They want to get to school on time most of the time. But getting them to do what needs to or having them figure out what needs to happen is widespread. Sometimes it feels like you look around where everybody's kid is perfect at the school, or at least all the parents pretend that. And, you know, you're struggling with my older child, it's one set of issues, and with my younger child, it's a different set of issues. Realistically, I'd say in terms of what to do, listen to Alex. He's my younger son. And realize that this is not something that's going to be solved by next week or, you know, in 2 weeks by the next call. It's going to take a while. And really let him lead. I mean, don't let him just wander off into the weeds, but I want him to figure it out because I think he'll do a better job of doing it than if I prescribe.
Love that. Thank you, Troy. Appreciate it. Who's next?
This is Lachelle. I could go next. I would say my aha was, I believe it was Lisa that says staying positive and giving compliments to her daughter helps. That's something I've been also trying to work on, so just hearing that and reinforcing that is easy to get to not do that with the daily frustration. So that's something I need to work on for myself. I forgot what the other questions were.
But just kind of, so that was your aha. So what's your commitment in terms of action? What do you want to commit to doing for the next couple of weeks, Michelle?
I want to commit to watching more of the videos and actually reading through the workbook, the first part of the workbook that I missed since last week was my first, the last call was my first time. So that's what I want to commit to is doing more of the homework myself, and then also making sure that I'm working on the taking aim area.
Good. Awesome. Great. Who's next?
This is Lori. I can go. I think my aha was, I'm not sure who mentioned about the code word. Maybe that was you, Diane, about the, and I think I need a code word too, because I need to listen to the yelling tape. But I, my daughter's knows when I get frustrated and actually knows how to push my button. So I think we both need code words in order to kind of call a break and step apart, since it's just the two of us. My action step is, I think when we are at a good place, we're going to go over this chart and then focus mainly on the activation thing and trying to figure out which areas we're going to take aim on together.
Awesome. Love that. And feel free to use burrito as your code word if you want.
She likes to eat, though, so if she's hungry, that might have to figure out something else.
But burrito should be the code word, like when I get hangry, that should be the code word. So, Mom, do you need a burrito? All right. Who else?
So this is Karen. And
go ahead, Karen.
I think one of the things that you said today for me for the aha moment was when I was talking about how my son, gets really upset from zero, he'll go 0, 1, 2, 10, and you commented on, that just might be the way his brain works, and I really need to take that into better consideration in terms of how I'm working with him on this particular trigger management stuff. And so what I think for me, what I want to do is, take your advice and sometime during, a down moment, sort of talk with the whole family about, what I listened to on that webinar and our conversations today, and just talking in general about triggers and what are my triggers and what I try to do to stay calm and not let them get to me. I think getting a code word is an awesome idea. I love that. My problem is when I tried to have this conversation with the family last week about, healthy disagreements, the boys were both just like, this is fine. This is not a problem. So, the issue, I guess, is trying to get them to realize that they need to be able to not get so in the way they get frustrated and just have a more healthy way to say that they don't want to do what we're asking them to do or whatever the particular issue is.
Well, and that's hard because I think that what you're talking about ultimately, Karen, is a solution that's important to you, right? So it's kind of like it helps you to keep your sanity. They might not mind yelling and screaming. They get over it, and then they feel fine, and all life is good. But you're exhausted and worn out by the time it's done. So kind of talking about what is it about the current environment that makes it hard for you could be helpful, because you might get some buy-in, you might not. Or you might get somebody else to say, yeah, that kind of bugs me too.
Okay.
Just depends. Okay.
Great. Awesome.
Thank you. Who's left? No, we lost somebody. Lisa.
Okay. Most of my focusing today was on emotional management and thinking about that and prevention. And so that's my aha, is prevention. And what I want to do is listen to that webinar on yelling and have a family conversation, and I'm going to set up times to do all that.
Awesome. Sounds great. All right. Margo or Vilma? I think we lost Margo. Vilma, are you still there?
Yep, I'm still here. And I'm busting my brain. I've had this conversation and the questioning about motivation with her before, and I just don't know. I can have it again, asking her what she thinks would get her motivated just to get started on homework, just to make it specific. But I could use some ideas to just lay out for her, you know, because the usual ones like bribing, she doesn't even like that. So I don't know how to get her to not think this is a task, to try to think of a way to get motivated. This morning even she said, you know, I'm really difficult to get motivated. Or I'm really difficult. I have so many special things that are wrong with me. Oh, dear.
I think that's the question you've got to figure out is, are you trying to motivate her to do something you want her to do? Or are you really trying to help her identify her own motivation?
Well, yeah, the latter. I mean, she's all bought into doing well enough in courses. We figured that out last time. She's really bought into that. But she just, you know, she gets home and YouTube just sounds a heck of a lot more interesting than doing psychology homework.
Yeah. Well, so I think that that's the question is kind of how do you take it back a level and really say, okay, what do you want to do to work on this?
Yeah.
And hold her accountable to the process rather than the outcome. Right. Because, Vilma, what you're really trying to do is to help her figure out how to figure this out herself rather than...
Right. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Awesome. All right.
Keep
any
going.
Parting thoughts? All right. I think we did lose a lot of Margo. Did I get everybody to check out?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. So the next PSS group is in 2 weeks, the week of the 25th, and then there is a Lifeline call next week. Let's see when that is. It's at noon on East Coast time on Tuesday the 18th. So join us out on the forum. If you guys have any questions or issues, let us know. And great call today, everybody.
Can I ask for something?
Sure.
Could I ask Troy to talk about his gap year, finding the gap year, because that was something that Elaine mentioned on the forum. Maybe I could ask Troy to get on the forum and say something about what he found for gap year.
So Lisa's on the forum, Troy. Vilma, if you tag me, I will tag a couple people, and some of you have a question generally about gap year programs and finding gap year programs, and I think a lot of people have that question. So I can share kind of what we're exploring with my son's hopefully going to do a gap year next year as well. So.
Okay, so you'll tag us, Diane?
Yeah, so Troy, should I tag? I'll just tag Lisa.
Probably Lisa,
Facebook.
I think she's more active in the forum than I am. So.
We're going to get you on Facebook, Troy.
Yeah, I live 5 miles from it, and I'm not on it, so, you know.
It's pretty hilarious. All right. Vilma, does that work?
Yeah, I guess so, right, as soon as I figure out how to tag.
Just type type in your question, and then type in the capital 2, and then Diane Dempster, and it should pull me up, and you click my name.
Okay.
That way I know that you've posted it, and if I haven't seen it by the end of the day, I'll go out and look for it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Vilma. Thanks, everybody.
All right, thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.